Sweden. The canary in the coal mine on corporal punishment.
The simplistic implication is if you ban spanking, then child abuse will drop dramatically. Yet that opinion is repeatedly proven false, and Sweden is the best laboratory to actually show this. Within 1 year of their ban, the physical child abuse rate actually doubled.
On the feature today, new research on the effects of a spanking ban from the country that pioneered the practice. In the news, ARPA mounts another lobbying effort against Bill C-16, some encouraging abortion statistics from the U.S., another political success for pro-life political activism, and a free speech win in Edmonton.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
ARPA is putting together a last-ditch lobbying effort to try to stop the passage of Bill C-16 through the Senate. This is the law that would add the terms gender identity and gender expression to the prohibited grounds for discrimination in both the Criminal Code and the Canadian Human Rights Act. ARPA's grassroots manager, Colin Postma, says the bill is fraught with problems and there's one last chance to have it stopped or amended.
The bill is passed, unfortunately, through the House of Commons, and that without any discussion at all. It didn't get discussed at the committee level, and now has passed on to the Senate. The Senate and House of Commons have broken now for the winter term until January 30th when they come back after Christmas, and that's when we'll figure out what the Senate will be doing with it. So for now, we've kind of challenged our grassroots to do two things. The first is to send out a easy mail letter. It's just making sure that the senators in particular are aware at this stage of our concerns and aware that this is probably a premature bill. And then the second step of the challenge also is to encourage people to pick three of the senators from their province and call them. And we've got some phone scripts available and phone numbers in that for you on our website. And even if you're not comfortable calling the senators directly, another option we always recommend is to be calling them after hours and leaving a voicemail.
You can find the easy mails and phone scripts on the ARPA website. Some new statistics out of the USA showing the abortion rate continues to decline there. The numbers are the lowest they've been since the landmark Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion back in 1973. In 2014, there were 14.6 abortions per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. That's the lowest rate ever recorded. The actual number of abortions was just over 926,000. That's a 14% drop from 2011. The Guttmacher Institute, which released the report, is not particularly well known as pro-life. It claims the reduced numbers are the result of increased use of contraceptives, rather than the increased number of laws being passed at the state level restricting abortion access. But Mike Schutten from We Need a Law says there's a broader context to these numbers.
You have two things happening. You have laws that are being passed, put into place, which send this pedagogical message that there is something morally wrong with abortion. When you have laws that come into place, you're going to have people who are engaging in sexual activity, whether that's within the confines of marriage or outside the confines of marriage, they're going to be more cautious about how they engage in those activities, because they know that if this sexual activity results in a pregnancy, it's not going to be very easy to have an abortion. So, you know, there's two things going on here. I wouldn't totally dismiss Guttmacher's response and saying, look, people are obviously resorting to better use of contraception and the various methods of that. I think you do have that, but you have that because the laws are in place.
Schutten says the American numbers again highlight the importance of the work We Need a Law is doing on this side of the border.
Right now in Canada, as we experience life without any laws, that just sends the message that there's nothing wrong with abortion, and it leads to really a careless use by the Canadian public of the sexual experience, because if it results in a child, who cares? We'll just go for an abortion. It's totally legal for any or no reason. So that's why we need to start making progress in the political realm. We need to start seeing laws that regulate abortion. And because when laws come into place, they're proven to lower the number of abortions that are going to be happening.
On the political front, a win for pro-lifers in a Conservative Party nomination contest in Calgary. There's going to be a by-election this year in the Calgary-Midnapore riding. That's the one left vacant when Jason Kenney resigned to focus his efforts on Alberta politics. Scott Hayward from the Right Now campaign says his group is taking some of the credit for the fact that pro-life candidate Stephanie Cusey won that nomination earlier this month because they did a lot of work in getting out the vote.
There were two big names running for that nomination, and the one that we were supporting was able to squeak out a win on the second ballot. We were able to provide 10% of the GOTV volunteers that day. And when you crunch the numbers, having our people run GOTV, whether it be door knocking, driving people to the polls, lid dropping, all those different activities, because of the Right Now volunteers, we were able to put her over the top and get a win for her for that nomination.
Hayward says the win shows that the Right Now campaign is on the right track with the way it's doing its political activism.
We think we've come across a winning formula. It isn't perfect, and as we go along, we are perfecting it. But we find that when we engage people on the ground, we provide our Right Now volunteers with training. We have all kinds of resources on our website, and they find that it's really easy to get involved, and it's really easy to make that difference, to get those wins. That kind of emulates across the country. Case in point, we have a group of young people in of all places, Quebec City, that want us to come out there in the next couple of months because the pro-life movement has basically abandoned the province of Quebec. And these are young people, pro-lifers, that want us to come there, want us to engage with them, to train them, and how to be active politically to get those wins.
We link to the Right Now website from our homepage this week. And finally, the city of Edmonton is back down in a case of free speech. It involves a street preacher named Nehemiah Smading. Last May, he was preaching on a street corner in Edmonton, ended up being charged with violating the city's noise bylaw. The officers who wrote up his ticket told him at the time they'd received a complaint and that they personally didn't think he was too loud. The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms took up his case, and last week the city dropped the charges. JCCF lawyer John Carpe.
This was actually the second time that Edmonton police have silenced this street preacher. Previously, it was the same situation. They came, they issued a ticket, and then the Crown prosecutors withdrew the charges. So we're going to be firing off a letter to the Edmonton Chief of Police asking him to provide some better training and instruction to the police officers.
Carpe says police can't issue tickets just to silence a particular type of speech.
There are people who don't like the preaching of the gospel on a sidewalk, and you're entitled to dislike that. You know, a free society means that, you know, you're not required to like what you hear, but to abuse the law by silencing somebody because of the content of what they're saying, that's completely unacceptable.
Back with more after this.
The Ontario government plans to rewrite the Child and Family Services Act, which governs child protection services, foster care, and adoption. I'm a foster mom. My husband and I are in this because we care about children. But the changes proposed by Bill 89 suggest that foster families that will not affirm gender ideology may not be allowed to care for children. Please alert your MPP that Bill 89 could push Christian and other families out of foster care. Visit arpacanada.ca/Ontario89 for more information.
And we're back on the program. On the feature today, Harold Hoff. Harold is on the forefront of the ongoing discussion about corporal punishment in Canada. Runs a website that is entitled keep43.ca. You may recall that last year he was successful in getting the federal government to change some of its literature on this issue. We featured him on Lighthouse News at that time. That was based on some research he'd done on the societal effects of spanking bans in other countries. Now he's out with some new research. We reached Mr. Hoff at his home in Dundas, Ontario. First of all, Harold, welcome back to Lighthouse News.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
When we spoke last year, you had some anecdotal information on the effects of a spanking ban in Sweden. Now you've done some additional research to flesh that out. Can you give us, first of all, a brief overview of what's new in this research?
Okay, well, I rely on research from various unrelated sources, not just my own. But what we've done is we've looked at, there's a whole bunch of claims basically against using any physical discipline. And there's a lot of science out there which attempts to denigrate it. And so it's very difficult to weigh the different types of sciences back and forth because people argue methodology and all these types of things. So it appears probably one of the best ways to actually suss this out is to look at societal experiences. It would make sense that if something is causing a societal harm, then the longer that it has been removed, the more those harms that it was claimed to cause would also have been removed. And so Sweden was the first country which in 1979 banned all physical punishment of children and the use of physical force in disciplining. So it would follow that if all these claims against spanking are valid, then Sweden should exhibit all these improvements, being one of the most peaceful countries on the planet. And yet from a variety of different perspectives, the exact opposite has manifested.
You know, the common objections to corporal punishment, things like the notion that we'll be raising kids who are more prone to violence if we spank them, the notion that spanking inevitably leads to child abuse, some of those objections are dealt with in your research, and the numbers actually show, since 1979, that it's actually quite different. Can you run through some of those stats for us?
One oft-cited fallacy is that 75% of abuse stems from physical punishment gone too far. Well, the simplistic implication in this is, if you ban spanking, then child abuse will drop dramatically. That's logical. Yet that opinion is repeatedly proven false, and Sweden is the best laboratory to actually show this. Within 1 year of their ban, the physical child abuse rate actually doubled. By 8 years out, that rate was already triple the U.S. per capita rate, and by 2010, the child abuse rate was about 22 times what the 1981 rate was.
Okay, that seems counterintuitive. Any reasons behind this in terms of some of the research?
Okay, well, the first reason is that parents need effective management tools to manage their children's behavior. And physical discipline has already been proven by a very broad study to be vastly more effective in altering behavior for preteen children than any other consequence type. So when parents are barred from using this, oftentimes, their inability to manage their children's behavior leads to such frustration that eventually some of them lash out in explosive rage. And when they do this, it's not what you would consider discipline or spanking. Now it's a full-on assault. That's one of the reasons.
One of the things I found interesting in this latest research was the connection between laws on corporal punishment and declining birth rates. It seems that as the laws get stricter, people are less inclined to have kids because they just figure, you know what, it's just too much trouble and there's too much risk of the state getting involved.
Yes, we actually published on this in 2015. We did a study looking at this question. People are afraid of police intervention and having social services seize their children, and this is culminating in some resentment and fear, and it is shown to be a material deterrent to childbirths. As a matter of fact, if you break out the countries and what happens, the longer these laws are in place, it can add up to the loss of up to one half child per female in a society. And most of the countries that have this collapsing fertility rate are countries that also have imposed bans on parents using any force to reasonably manage their children's behavior.
All of this is in the context of Bill S-206. That's a bill in the Canadian Senate that would repeal Section 43 of the Criminal Code. That, of course, is the section that allows reasonable parental force. Just to update our listeners, what's the status on that bill? The senator who sponsored it, Senator Hervieux Payette, has retired, but the bill is still alive. Where is that in process, and how can we see that moving forward this year?
Senator Hervieux Payette tabled one of these bills almost every year since 2004. She retired in April of 2016, and typically, if there's no sponsor to take up a bill, the bill just dies. However, Prime Minister Trudeau has filled all the vacant, or most of the vacant, Senate seats, appointing, I believe, 20 new senators, and one of the new senators is Senator Murray Sinclair. And why that's important is because Murray Sinclair was the chair of the former Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which put out 94 recommendations on Canada's reconciliation with First Nations peoples. And Mr. Trudeau said that he will adopt all 94 recommendations. Recommendation number 6 is under education and is the repeal of Section 43. Senator Sinclair then said corporal punishment had no place in education and in schools. Now, we informed the senator that, in fact, in 2004, the Supreme Court removed physical punishment and physical discipline from any educational setting in Canada and severely tightened up the definitions of what was allowable for parents. So we were surprised that it showed up in education in the first place. But at any rate, it seems that he has taken up sponsorship of this bill anyway. So we are now waiting for him to give his speech on the bill.
The report is entitled Sweden, the Canary in the Coal Mine. We've got a link up to it from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Harold, we're out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email Lighthouse News at arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.